Tim Watson's here. It's a conversation starter for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV. Got a great audience. They buy in. They love it. Mick says, are you bloody serious, Gary? The game would be boring if you didn't critique the likes of Hill. Just goes to show the media think they're the game. I watch the footy, not listen to the criticism. And that's your prerogative, Mick. You don't have to listen to anything. But, yeah, he's going to get criticised, isn't he? Just as he's going to get praised when he plays well. That's part of what goes it goes around, Mick. If I said boring.
Just as we do.
We get criticised. We do indeed.
You should sit here, Mick. Sit here for half an hour. You want to talk criticism? I'll give you a criticism. Every word that tumbles out of our mouth gets analysed here.
Chelsea have beaten Real Madrid. They'll take on Man City in the Champions League final. So that was old news that they are through. Where do you want to start?
Well, do you want to keep talking about this or not?
Well, Tommy Harley's going to join us as soon as he's available about the whole COVID situation that's unfolding up in Sydney and what it means for the Swans. Yep. He'll give us an insight into they're going to have to travel earlier to come down here and play Melbourne at the MCG on Saturday. The Giants game against Essendon you had a little bit of info on that.
Oh, well, there's a possibility that it might get shifted to Canberra, so we'll find out whether or not that's the case and then the implication. Really, it depends upon how many of these COVID cases, these new COVID cases, pop up in Sydney. So nobody at this stage knows. But the way that the Premier up there was speaking yesterday, there is an expectation that there will be more positive tests.
Well, red alert is how it's been described. Moza from Cobden's got a nice take on this. These people need to stop criticising the criticisers. They've been abusive to us because we've got an opinion that they don't share. I quite like that. Well done, Mozza. Magnificent work.
Many years ago when I was coaching and I was getting heavily criticised and I just shut down all the outside noise, Gary. So I just for 12 months I used to just listen to the FM music station, right? And so I thought that was a safe place to be until one of the blokes back announced the song one day and said, that's just like my Saints and that
wanker
waste of space coach that we've got at the moment. I had to shut everything down, everything down. Anyway, can I just throw some football stuff out there? Tom Brown reported on Channel 7 News last night that North Melbourne are having another big swing at Josh Kelly, right? So, and then... Further to that, he's got a contract, Josh Kelly. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but there's a clause in his contract that he can activate, which means that he can stay at his choice at the Giants and continue on this long-term deal, which is about $1 million a year, as it's been reported. Or if he wanted to, then he could move. Now, the background to all this, Gary, is that he hasn't been particularly happy about the way that he's been played. He sees himself primarily as a midfielder. And when I say midfielder, more a in the square, inside power type player midfielder, as opposed to where they want to play him and where they believe he is best suited. And that is on the outside. And I'm not saying that he's an outside player, but as a winger and to use his attributes the best way they believe that they can be used for the benefit of the team. What do you think? Do you think that he has the potential to be more than what he's been at the Giants?
He needs to be. He needs to be more. He needs to play better. If he's $1 million a year player, then you need to be a top three in the best and fairest year in, year out. You need to be a Pendlebury type consistency and influencer of games. You need to be all Australian squad every year, all Australian team every second if you're on that. That's the sort of contract, that's the sort of player that that contract buys or should buy.
Yeah.
So if he's not doing that, but so the extension of that is, well, the Giants have committed to that contract at that price, therefore they'll deploy him where they think they're going to get most value from him. And if they think he's not an inside mid, they think he can get $1 million worth of value from him as a high half forward, well, good luck to him.
Yeah.
Toby Green gives you that sort of value as a high half forward. Not sure Josh Kelly does.
What is it that they haven't discovered about the way that he plays that they're going to discover? Like, well, they've had a good look at Josh. And he's a fine player, okay? No one's criticising him for his ability. Like, he's got an enormous ability, but you play somebody where you believe their attributes best suit your team. And that's where they believe that his attributes best suit their team.
Particularly when you've committed $1 million a year to him for 8 years.
That's right. That's right. Him on one wing, and then Whitfield played on the other wing at the weekend against Adelaide. I don't reckon you could get two more talented wingers in the one team in the AFL competition at the moment.
Well, you'd think the way the modern game's played, hard running, aerobic freaks, great ball users, then they're perfectly cut for those roles. And wingers have never been more important. You watch, you know, the footy that we do, the winger's role is just incredibly important. So, but that's not to say that Josh doesn't think that. Josh's opinion of where he thinks he should play may be absolutely at odds with where the Giants have lumped or plumped for him to play. And that
is true.
And that's the basis of the problem.
And having spoken to somebody at the Giants, that is the case. That is the case. He believes that he could and should be played somewhere else. And the background to all this is interesting because I think that, you know, maybe an element in all of this negotiation as to whether he stays or he goes or takes another contract somewhere else may be determined by where he is played.
Which therein opens a door for the conspiracy theorists who would say that we've committed to this 2-year plus 8, or what, was it 2 plus 8? 2 plus 8 deal at $1 million. We've watched him play the last couple of years. We think we may have over... I'm just spitballing here, right? This is a conspiracy theory. We think we may have overcommitted. We'll play him where how we think. If he doesn't like it, then he might go and then we're out of the deal.
Okay. Would he be, if he does move on, and say, North Melbourne had a real crack at him a couple of years ago and he decided to stay at the Giants. If he does move on, is that, would you think that going to North Melbourne would be the right place for him?
From what? From his point of view?
Yeah, from his point of view.
For his footy?
Yeah, like he's going to get the money. We know that. He's going to get the bag. All that'll come. But in terms of what he wants to get out of his footy, young, developing team, he's been through all that already at the Giants.
Well, without knowing, I've never spoken to Josh without knowing, no, if you're going to come back, go somewhere where you're going to be involved in a premiership in the next. And he would have those options available to him. He just might have to suck up a hit to the back pocket if that was the case. Like, there's 4 clubs reported. Is that what I read? 4 clubs reported.
4, yeah.
Now, I mean, would you be looking at one of the contending clubs back here in Melbourne?
Yeah.
As opposed to going to a North Melbourne who are going to be, you know, a couple of years away. And I guess that comes down to what he wants to get out of his footy, doesn't it?
That's right. And whether or not they can accommodate him too as well regarding his financial demands.
Well, he's not going to get that money at Geelong, or he's not going to get that money at, you know, Richmond. So then you go, okay, money or success is where he's at.
Okay, well, let's talk about Toby Green and the fact that he has he's committed really lifetime now to the Giants with that contract extension.
Yep.
So he's a Giant for life, Toby Green. He said what you'd expect him to say yesterday when he was asked that question about the captaincy and the fact that he's the fill-in captain at the moment for Steve Canelio. He wasn't going to put pressure on Canelio by saying, yeah, look, I want the captaincy. He may want the captaincy. Maybe he doesn't want the captaincy. Maybe he doesn't want all the other bits and pieces that go with being a captain.
He looks like he's still the
leader, though. Like all
he
the
thrives.
Things, he's going to be all of that anyway because that's what he is. And you and I have spoken about this many times. He is so popular up there at the Giants. They love him. The players love Toby Green up there. And so that's not going to change whether he's the captain or not.
No.
And he's going to play the way that he plays whether he's the captain or not.
But all those great leaders would do that anyway, wouldn't they? This is their whole argument. We talk about this a lot, you know. Would Pendlebury play any differently if they'd handed it over to Taylor Adams or Darcy Moore?
I don't think so, no.
No. Well, would it be better for Darcy Moore or for Taylor Adams if they had a bit more of that responsibility?
I don't know. You'd have to be at the club to understand.
Yeah. So my point is that,
those players.
The Canelio one would be, I think, up to Stephen in the end. And they may make the call for Stephen by the end of the year anyway, but he may just turn around and say, look, I thought it was me, I thought this was what I really desperately wanted to do, but it hasn't worked out, and I can see that it's going to be better to have Toby or someone else. So that'd be, I'm really
That's been done before.
Of course it has.
Sam Mitchell, go back to the Hawthorn example.
Sam Mitchell. Yeah, no, that's
made
right.
Made captain and then...
I'm not sure Sam made the decision, by the way.
But he accepted Gary. It didn't affect the way he played post that.
No, that's right. The club did. And he was a premiership captain and Luke Hodge was a multiple premiership captain. So it's no great slight on you. But when you're in the job, it did. you'd think, oh, no, I am the best man, and no one can do it as well as me.
It's kind of a schoolboy thing, though, isn't it? Like, if you go back to your school, everyone wanted to be captain. I've never known any player that didn't want to be captain.
No. Hey, can I ask you about Sam McClure? Sits on the. Is he on the footy classified every week? Is he filling in for Archie?
Anyway. I don't know. We don't watch it. It's on too late for us.
He was on last night. He had this. Said some interesting things to say about the Collingwood footy department and an alternate ticket that's been put together. Eddie sat there next to him. Eddie Maguire. Let's have a listen to Sam McClure.
My understanding it is there is going to be major changes to their football department in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Now, I can't go into the specifics of that yet. There have obviously been major changes before and recently at Collingwood with Graham Wright coming from Hawthorn into the Magpies. I would expect more changes soon.
Right, now, and Eddie's sitting right next to him while he's saying that. Yeah.
I'm not so interested in what Sam's got to say. I'm interested in what Eddie had to say. As I am told, someone that may have watched it might be able to help us out. No comment from Ed on the back of it?
No comment.
Is that what happened?
No comment, no.
Yeah, so that's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. It's an interesting
You were saying
dynamic.
A lot without saying anything.
No, it's an interesting dynamic when you've got the man that's run that club for 21 years sitting right there next to him, and Sam McClure says there's going to be major changes to the footy department in the next fortnight, and then well, surely Eddie'd have a comment if he's at arm's length, but he didn't know what was going on.
And what are the chances of him not knowing what's going on there at Collingwood at the moment?
I don't know, but I would think he would know what's going on.
I think we can safely say that he knows what's going on, and I think we can safely say that somewhere in the background, I think that he would be, and we've spoken about Jeff Brown before, I think he would be a backer of Jeff Brown taking over as the president of the Collingwood Football Club. I don't think he wants it to develop into a war there.
Well, now we're getting
a major disruption at Collingwood.
He did say that Mark Corder had been appointed, therefore the dust should settle. We don't want a blue. McClure said there was an alternate ticket being put together with Jeff Brown. So let's have a listen to this.
There was news broken by Damien Barrett on the Monday edition of Footy Classified about Jeff Brown potentially challenging at the end of the year. My understanding is there is growing support for that. There is change still wanted at the Collingwood Football Club, and as we speak, there is an alternate ticket being put together with Jeff Brown as president, and there is still the threat of an EGM looming on the Collingwood Footy Club.
Still the threat of an EGM. That's an extraordinary meeting. So that would have to be called... I think you've got to have like... 15% or 10% depends on the actual club, but that can happen at any time. Yeah,
that is what I'd like to hear Eddie on.
Comment on that.
Did Ed come? Because Eddie said when Mark Corder was appointed, and I'm paraphrasing, but look, it's good. He's appointed. Let's get behind him. We want stability. My legacy has been no EGMs at the Collingwood Footy Club. So when McClure says that, I'd be really interested in what Ed had to say on the back of that.
Yeah.
Because if he was to say what he said 3 weeks earlier, it was, hey, no, Jeff, no, we want stability. We don't want an EGM.
Well, clearly though, and you know as well as I do how these things work, clearly Eddie doesn't want to get into the middle of this conversation.
Well, that's fair
enough. Because
he's the outgoing
president. So he doesn't want to have his fingerprints over this, and he doesn't want to be making public statements about it. And I respect that, okay?
Yeah.
But we know well enough to know that behind the scenes, he'll be trying to engineer who he believes is the best person to take Collingwood forward.
Yeah, it's an
yes, do we
situation.
Or not? Do you agree with me on that or not? That Eddie will be behind the scenes trying to engineer the best person to take Collingwood forward.
Well, I'm taking him in what he said when Mark Corder was appointed. That the best thing is the stability, and we don't want an EGM at the Collingwood Footy Club. What are you turning away from me? I'm told as soon as Sam stopped talking, Eddie threw to the next story on Petrarca's New Deal. Well, let's just watch. We'll watch with great interest. I don't know whether an EGM is what is in the best interest of Collingwood, is it?
Well, it's a democratic thing.
Of course it is.
You get the opportunity for members to cast their vote and decide who they want to lead the club. I think it's a great thing for clubs to be able to do that from time to time. In fact, that's what should happen all the time.
Well, 1-300-736-736. You can give us a call at any stage. We are just waiting for Tommy Harley, so we're in his hands a little bit. So in the meantime, we can throw the lines open. 1-300-736-736.
Kennards Hire is making trade easy with an express load and go service and heaps more. Melbourne, stop tangled hoses forever with Aussie retractable hoses. Supplied and installed for only $169.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
It makes sense, but yeah, it's not in it at the moment. It's not going to help us for the time being. It's trending around the world. It might be something that creeps into our game that a lot of the other sort of rules do. Hopefully I wouldn't have used it earlier in the game, but umpiring's a really hard job too.
There you go. That's Joel Selwood talking about the AFL's potential for a captain's challenge. He backed it, kind of, with a tongue half in his cheek.
No, he liked it.
I watched the interview. I saw it. He had a smile on his face. He said, I don't know whether it's going to come in, but he would have a crack at it.
Yeah, it will at some stage. I believe it will come in. I don't know how you will frame it. It's going to be difficult maybe to work out exactly how the captain makes a challenge to a decision.
So throwing a mouth guard at the umpire doesn't...
Well, that hasn't been raised yet, but I just wonder whether or not, you know, when you think about it, what type of decisions would you necessarily be able to challenge? Like, if it was a holding the ball decision and you say, okay, I'm challenging that particular decision, okay, holding the ball, then that goes to the referees back in the arc and then they've got to adjudicate.
Game already goes for too long. What, are we going to stand around looking at umpires' challenges now for another 5 minutes?
Well, I think so. I think to get it right, I think it's just inevitable.
I know.
Look, and a lot of people will agree with you, but I think it will happen, and I think it's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years, maybe even earlier.
You know Bowen's Timber and Hardware?
Yes, I do. They're a great timber and hardware company.
This is a note from John Bowen to our loyal trade customers. I was listening to the radio this morning when an announcer, you, with me, read out a message from a carpenter that said, Australia will run out of construction timbers by September. For the first time in my life, I text that station in the belief I needed to set the record straight. No timber by September. I can't see that happening. However, volumes of supply have remained at 2020 levels while building. Anyway, goes on and on about it. So it's, you've lit a fire under the timber industry.
Well, there is a bit of a concern out there. I'm not saying that they're going to run out completely, but I know there's a shortage of building materials at the moment, and the wait and the delay is significant for some people. The Bowen, they're great people, the Bowens people.
Great Xavier supporters, the Bowen timber people.
Great family.
Now, we've got a message from Dave Matthews too. So Tom Harley's going to join us. He's going to join us. Dave Matthews, the Giants CEO, says his comment is this: we've got great confidence in the New South Wales government and we'll continue to work closely with them. So they play Essendon, Wispy?
Yes, they do, this weekend.
Yep.
And the AFL also have just made a statement. They're monitoring the situation closely, not in a position to provide further comment at this stage.
Okay, so Tom Harley to join us.
So that's the very latest. But Tommy sent a text message before saying that there's a lot going on. There are a lot of conversations going on at the moment. So hopefully when he's free and able to, he will join us and tell us the very latest.
How was the Christian Petrarca 7-year extension received yesterday on the talkback calls? And I'm sure it was debated long and hard on this station throughout the course of the day. A positive? What in the end, is there any concerns from Melbourne's point of view for committing for a 7-year extension?
I always think there are concerns when you talk about a 7-year extension. Yeah, I always think there is. I'm surprised. I understand that in terms of being able to have sort of some certainty about managing your salary cap and that type of thing, and clubs like that. And then obviously within that 7-year period, there's probably going to be the opportunity for some manoeuvring if it needed to take place. But they've tied themselves to a very, very talented player. We know over the last couple of years that he's a super, superstar inside, change the game type midfielder. And there's very few of those guys going around.
Yes, indeed. Hey, we spoke about the senior feedback to Jordan DeGoey that was rubbish by Taylor Adams, which Tom Morris then said, Taylor not only did it, but was one of the most vocal. Darcy Moore was on the Yokai Footy Show, which is the Indigenous show that's on, is it on AFL.com there? Anyway,
he was on there.
He explained why the Collingwood players felt they needed to make a statement about, this is about the Do Better report, okay.
A football club is a workplace that you put so much time into, and we invest so much in the culture of it. And to read those things that have gone on in the history was really shocking. And, the playing group just kind of really felt really strongly about what was said in the report, and we felt like it was really important to address in an authentic way, in our voice, to address what it said and address the people in our past that have been hurt through being involved with the club.
Yeah, so that I misread that, but that was a really pivotal time in that whole Do Better situation. I thought when the players come out and made that statement, Darcy Moore led the way on that.
100%. Brian's not a supporter of the captain's challenge. If that happens, I'll give the game away. Sick of changing rules all the bloody time. Give it a rest. Captain's challenge. My God, the footy world has gone completely mad.
It's fair to say that it hasn't been
universally accepted. No, the idea of that.
Hasn't been well received. If the feedback, talk about feedback. You want to see the feedback the Wisp's getting at the moment for his suggestion that a captain's challenge comes in.
Don't make it personal, people.
Yeah. Ask listeners what's going on the Eastern Freeway. Major delays, yes. If you've been listening, we've been telling you this morning that there's been huge issues on the Eastern. So if you want to give us an update, we'll pass it on to the rest of those that might be trying to battle that terrible, terrible logjam that is the Eastern Freeway.
Can we quickly take a call from Pete?
Sure.
I know we're running out of time here, but good morning to you, Pete.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Gaz. It's about the captain's call.
Yes. You're for that possibility or not?
Only if it's for a goal review, because if it's not, does the footage get reviewed and they call whatever they see, or just for the incident?
Well, that would have to be determined, Pete. That would be one of the difficulties with our game, to decide exactly what it is that you can challenge.
Good point, Pete. The Wisp's just, he's got his helmet on, he's got his chest guard, he's got his thigh pad, and he's got his elbow guard. What if Joel Selwood's on the bench?
Then obviously you'd have, I think what you could do is you could have sort of like a captain's armband. Oh, and so if he goes to the bench, he's got a hand.
I don't think you thought this through. 7:30, have another think.
It's going to happen, people. Get ready for it. Start preparing yourself.
7:30 news headline.
He's got that old school sort of toughness in him, but then he's also a very, emotionally intelligent, empathetic. Once you get him one-on-one, he's there for you no matter what. I'm amazed with how many coaches, their one job is to get the best out of their players, each individual player, however that might be. Even if they might not like them as a player or as a person even, it's like, who cares? It's your job to, get wins on the board, make your team feel amazing and, unbreakable, and it gives you confidence, which not many of my coaches in the past.
Wow. Yep. Bit of a whack there from Jack Watts about his previous coaches. Some special and the way that he's been handled.
Yeah, no, that's pointed. That's pointed.
It is. It's extremely pointed.
I'd like to go to the coaches and ask him about Jack.
Yeah, but that might be the case. But Jack is saying that there was a way that he could have been handled which may have produced the best of Jack, which wasn't.
No, 100%.
I didn't know whether you're being
I agree with
sarcastic or you're being serious.
No, I'd like them go back to those coaches and say, Jack's saying this, that maybe he needed to be coached differently to get the best out of them. And I wonder what the coaches would say in return in response to that.
Ultimately, that is their job, isn't it, to get the best out of the player. But having said that, your job also is to find the best way to play that player that suits your team as well. And the two things may not necessarily always align.
No, and it's up to a point as well. You'll say, listen, I'll do all I can to make you the best player you can be. I'll go out of my way. I'll mollycoddle you if that's what needs be, or I'll give you the cook that I think you might need. But at the end of the day, I'm only going to go so far because I'm not coaching just you.
Yeah.
I'm coaching 44. Well, really, a senior coach coaches probably 28, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's one of those interesting players, Jack, that you watch him and you think, okay, he always looked like he had more to give. And he could
was
have
laconic.
That's right. And he could have participated more, but that was him. He probably thought, that's me. I can give you my best, but don't keep saying to me all these negative things about, you're gonna be more competitive. All these other things that he thought probably that's not gonna end up with me contributing my best football. I can do all these things. I can do them as well as anybody out there on the field, but I'm not going to be that bloke necessarily that maybe you want me to be that competes in the way that you want me to compete.
So then this is why I would love to talk to their coaches, his coaches, all of them, and say, well, do you think Jack Watts got the best out of himself as a footballer? Do you think he maximised his ability with that attitude?
Mm. That's right. And I'm sure that they would have I'm sure that they would have reasons as to why they didn't think that happened in the time that they were coaching him.
Yeah. No,
and maybe, you know, also in this, and this is what I think happens too, is that you get a player at a certain time of their career and they may not have the maturity that's required to understand the messaging that is being delivered. They go somewhere else later in their life. They've had different life experiences. They've been around other players. They mature because of age. And then they see things differently.
Yeah. And you can, we speak about this all the time, the old sliding doors moment where you can arrive at a club that is, and all clubs have been through this over the journey, where it's not strong, where the leadership's not strong, where the standards aren't being driven really hard, and you can get into some bad habits really early in your career. And Melbourne wasn't a great strong club when Jack got there, and it had their issues along the way as well. Now, maybe that had an impact in terms of what he thought AFL standard was.
I think that's a really good point. And the time that he got there and the upheaval with coaching and staff and the club, and that all contributes to the uncertainty for a young player.